special, that they're in a 1 or
2 Long Talk Radio.
There's something that each of us can learn about how to create a level of frequency that allows us to truly manifest things. And we've shared a lot of different experiences on the show, but what about sickness? What about when you're ill? You heard me earlier, you know, talk a little bit about RJ and talk about what his journey was like. And now you're going to meet him to talk about supercharged self healing. RJ, it's great to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Pat. It's my pleasure.
So let's talk about that question. You know, the question, why did some people, you know, all of a sudden law of attraction is out there and some people just took off and other people just thought it didn't work at all. Why is it that some people, such as yourself, can connect the dots and heal? What is the missing element from your perspective and what you've learned?
That's a great question. I think one of the major factors has to do with being aligned with your authentic self, as opposed to trying to do things at the behest of what I call the ego mind identity, which is essentially just the conditioning or programming of what occurs when, through incarnation when we're here. And these are the beliefs, the concepts, the ideologies that we identify ourselves with and then create a character, the human character, based upon those identifications. So when we're operating that way, I've found that all disharmony actually comes from disharmonious thought patterns. So maybe we can understand it in sort of one sentence based upon healing, is that whatever reality, whatever conceptualized reality that we create for ourselves, our body then has the tangible experience of that. So that is essentially the mind-body connection in one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found through my own healing and the people that I've helped all over the world doing this is that we have to transcend and go to what exists prior to the ego-mind identity and align ourselves with our true self, which sits between our heart and our spine, believe it or not, when we're incarnate. And then once we attune the conscious mind to the true self, the body must follow. And so when we do that, this is when we're capable of incredible things, things that seem impossible, maybe like what occurs to me, which is overcoming permanent paralysis and host diseases. But it's not just me, it's countless people that I've taught this new understanding to. And it's universal because it's just higher physics. And when we tap into it, you get results.
And let's talk about that. I mean, here we are. We're talking about higher physics. We're talking about, you know, the notion of the ego mind identity. And let's spend a moment on this, because when we pop out, here we are, these little teeny babies, and we're popped out. We know a couple things, right? We know when something doesn't feel good, we're going to cry. When we're hungry, we're going to cry. We know that, like as if it were like breathing. We know that here we are, we take a breath. But then all of a sudden we have desire. Even little teeny babies have like a desire. And that desire is unfiltered. And what I mean by that is you're hungry. You cry. You're uncomfortable. You cry. And it's not just about that. But you also see little teeny babies smile. You see little teeny babies happy. And, you know, the question then becomes, what happens after that? You know, where do we go from that place of just being so clear about our desires to be so confused?
Yeah, that's right. That's the real question. So I think what's been popular for a long time is the understanding that the personality is formed up until about 7 years old. Right. So and that has to do with what we're taught, what mom, dad, school, friends, societal pressures. So we begin to become conditioned to certain beliefs, concepts, ideologies and roles. And then we sort of adopt a personality that fits in with that. Well, there's a couple of issues with that. One, we didn't come here to stay, so we don't have to fit in. That's number one. But what I'd like to do is take a completely different understanding and perspective about how the personality is formed over the first 7 years. And then it is my experience that what we just talked about is true, but from a metaphysical or spiritual physics perspective, what is actually going on is that the incarnate aspect, or what we call the soul, as the incarnation is going, it's making a determination in terms of how fully immersed it wants to be in terms of the human experience. So what that means is that full immersion is the complete identification with the body, that we are the body, we are the mind, we are our thoughts, our feelings, and that's it. And there's nothing beyond that at all. So I call that full immersion. Now, the soul is making this determination, not consciously, but the soul is making this determination up until about the age 7. And so this has a lot to do with the actual personality, or what is actually authentically developed in the personality. Now, the polar opposite of that, we could say, is detachment, or complete detachment. And so these are for the souls that come into this world, and they do not go into full immersion. They tangibly know that they are spirit, if you will, having a human experience, and they don't identify with the body-mind complex. Mm-hmm. And this gives them a level of detachment. And what's also possible is a billion different variations between these two things. And it is my experience through myself and through working with others that that's really what determines the level of immersion. That is the level of immersion. It also determines our personality. And then these things also greatly dictate certain abilities that we may or may not be able to tap into, such as self-healing, or what people call self-realization or enlightenment.
Yeah. One of the things I was struck by in the book, and I want to talk to you about it when we come back from break, is, the law of imagination, what you call the higher mind's imagination. And one of the things that you point out, so beautifully is what science shows, of course, about this, empty space, but also the transient nature of thinking. This idea that, it goes in, it goes out, it is just constantly this machine. And the question is, I think you call it, it's like things come and go like breeze in a room. And I wonder what would be the real impact if we really understood the power in that.
Well, yes.
I
long for the day that this realm operates that way. And it is my highest desire that this book and these teachings are sort of the first step in this direction, yeah, to be able to operate this way. Everything is on the table when you can operate this way, because everything is based upon imagination, but everything. In fact, the multiverse is simply a bubble of source, God, creator's imagination. And we are simply creations within that bubble of imagination. The issue, or the challenge, if you will, upon when we're here in the low frequencies of the physical universe, is that we misuse our imagination, and we simply misuse it in order to create limitations. So we misuse our imagination in terms of identifying with some form of limitation, and these limitations are beliefs, concepts, ideologies, and so-called knowledge, which are simply based upon 5 physical sensory perceptions, which is the data stream that creates the intellect. The higher consciousness, or what we really are, gives birth to the intellect and comes way before the intellect. So the key to complete transformation, self-realization, self-healing, whatever high-end terms you want to use, is to be able to access your true imagination and not limit yourself to the 5 sensory perceptions, because what you are comes before that. What you are is more than all the beliefs, concepts, and ideologies put together. And so if we're going to limit ourselves to this human character that we create out of this limited data stream, there is no way that we can do things like unparalyze yourself or reach self-realization.
Right.
So tapping into pure imagination is really the key to all transformation.
It's so funny we're talking about this. I had a conversation with somebody the other day. I'm going to talk to you about it when we come back, because it really points to understanding the invisible you, or understanding the invisible total you. And I was having a conversation with somebody the other day after reading your book, of course, and she was just talking about how she's struggling. You're just struggling to lose weight, just boom, 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 boom. And I said, how are you using your imagination? you know, and for lack of a better word. But when we come back, you're going to take us on that journey because that's what you did, right?
Yes.
You know, what is it that you're willing to believe? But more importantly, what are you willing to not imagine? Where do you stop your level of imagination? Meaning you stop it. You literally are like, I'm not going to imagine that. What is that point that you get to where you convince yourself that there's a point of imagination that you will not use because somewhere underneath you believe imagination is not reality? When we come back, we're going to bust through that crust a little bit with my very special guest. And we have two copies of the book, Self-Healing, Supercharged Self-Healing, to give away. When we come back, you're going to really hear how RJ did this. This is not a fantasy show. This is somebody paralyzed chest down, not paralyzed chest down today. How does that even happen? We're going to find out when we come back. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Your own innate brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, hearing wild magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com. Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'm excited to tell you about the latest technology. It is new to this country, and it's just amazing. It's out of Germany. The Healy is state-of-the-art technology for improving and changing the body vibration. I have more information about the Healy on my website, MaryJaneMack.com, or you can call the office at 888-777-4232.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I love this show, and I love what we're talking about. We're going to talk about understanding the invisible, the total you, and I love this. because if you've been around like this weekend or the past week, what have you noticed differently? If you're not a TV watcher, you probably didn't notice it. But what have you noticed differently? Well, first of all, you've noticed the best and most creative imagination of our pop culture, Hollywood, coming to the forefront. Every kind of cinematic, creative-like thing that had to do with the future that doesn't exist, or many people don't think does, or an aspect of who we are that we didn't really understand. Now, how is it that we plug so deeply into these imaginary versions of life, and we're so enamored with our heroes, right? Whether it's Black Widow, or whether it's, do I say, Dune, what is it about us? What are we longing for? And what have we not found the pathway to? That's what we're talking about today. Supercharged Self-Healing, a revolutionary guide to access high-frequency state of consciousness that rejuvenate and repair. And how do we know that? Because, you know, RJ Cena joining me here today, the guest, my guest and the author of the book, has done it. Benny, let's give a copy of the book away. Let's give our first copy away, 1-800-930-2819. RJ, how do we find out about you, and how do people buy the book?
The book is available pre-order on Amazon. It comes out in about a week, so you can pre-order it right there. You can go to superchargedselfhealing.com and get a free guide to what I call magic tricks that instantly relieve stress and anxiety, which all of us could use today, and they work literally in seconds. And when I say magic tricks, I mean real magic tricks. And if someone is interested in maybe working with me directly, has an issue now, you can go to my personal website, which is ascendthefrequencies.com. And, of course, my email, oddly enough, is rj@ascendthefrequencies.com.
You know, I love this part of the book because it sets us up for what you're about to teach us in moving forward. And it talks about what so many indigenous cultures knew before, about the four directions, about energy, you know, because that's what we're really talking about, right? You say, oh, north, people have an energy, what north means, right? You say west, people have an energy. You know, we're talking about this, but, you know, part of this in what you described to us is to access our true essence. And now, you know, the fact that here you are, parallels chest down, now you're here talking to us about what you've discovered, not paralyzed from the chest down, you know, we now have a way for people listening to the show today to understand that they could have what you have. We just have to learn this.
Yeah, absolutely. We have simply been horribly miseducated. And so this book is a proper training and education in terms of how self-healing and, believe it or not, authentic self-realization actually works, or what we call enlightenment. It's physics. So when we start to understand that what we really are is what I call sentience. Esoterics have called this the self, right? They've also called it the soul, but there's a much more accurate, holistic understanding of the soul that's in the book. I'm just going to briefly describe it. So what we actually are is sentience, or what I call a divine intelligence. Don't associate that with thinking, because it has nothing to do with thinking. It's a knowingness, which occurs prior to thinking. So this divine intelligence, you can think of it as our level of wisdom and love, and then every subset beneath that, certain talents and abilities that we come into this world with. So this is what we actually are. This is a direct fractal of God. This is sentience, divine intelligence. Now, we are given a complement of energy, and this is the energy that we use to create. And when incarnate, we typically use this energy to think, emote, and animate the body. So what we really are is divine intelligence given energy to create. Now, those two things previously have been lumped together and called one thing, the soul. that's just the energy. It's like gas in a gas tank. What we are is the divine intelligence. And once we are accessing directly, and this book teaches you in a step-by-step process how to do this, once we access our divine intelligence, which gives us full opportunity to avail ourselves of our own higher consciousness, we can then harness our complement of energy in a way that human beings are currently not doing and direct it with a single-pointedness of purpose towards the recreation or return to health, as well as liberation or what we call self-realization or enlightenment.
You know, and let's talk about sort of the essence of some of this as we develop. I was always considered, what's the word that I want to use? I was always considered, and by the way, this stayed with me right through my corporate career as an executive. My final executive performance review literally said, what a great performer, what a great leader, and by the way, we think she's from another planet. Always. It's like been right there. But it's fortunate, I was fortunate enough growing up to have a mom that also lived in a plane of imagination. And life, everyday life, was way too tough for her, way too tough for her. But there's something that happens along the way until you get ill, like you did, or maybe like I did, where something has to shift. Everything you thought was working for you does not work anymore. That's a realization, isn't it? And then, you know, you are at a choice point. Tell me from your perspective how that choice point came to you.
I should probably back up and give a little context in the sense that I've always said, as strange as it sounds, I've always said that if I ever get sick, I'll just heal myself, which is obviously a very bizarre thing to say. And I said this years and years and years and years ago. And if someone would have asked me, okay, RJ, how would you do that? I don't think I would have had an answer, but I can tell you that I knew it was in me. I knew I had it within me. It was an innate ability or understanding or talent, however you want to say it. I knew it was always there. So it was only upon the need of being able to access these things in terms of the actual mechanics of it had arisen, which was through waking up from emergency life-saving surgery, completely paralyzed from the chest down and riddled with diabetes, hypothyroidism, Hashimoto's autoimmune disease, pancreatitis, thyroiditis, and autonomic dysreflexia. So there was no way there was any hope at all for me. But that was irrelevant because I was tapped into the veil, if you will, or the veil had been removed. I was now part of and working with the veil of wisdom of higher consciousness. And it's kind of like when we're human, or having a human experience, I should say, it's kind of like being in a maze. And we don't know what lies behind if we go left or we go right. We have no idea what that leads to. So we really have lost sense with a knowingness. And we've replaced these things with beliefs, concepts, and ideologies, by the way. So it has nothing to do with knowingness. So now imagine, as an analogy, instead of being stuck in the maze, you simply rise up above the maze and you can look down at it. And now you see all the permutations and in an instant, you know. And that had nothing to do with thinking. So as an analogy, this was the state of cosmic consciousness that I was in. I instantly knew. There was no doubt. There was no wondering. I was not identifying with what people were saying. I simply followed my own instinct, which relates, Pat, to what you said about that people would say that you're from another planet. What they're really saying, because none of us are from any planets, what they are really saying is that you are connected to your true self, and that's where all the knowingness, talents, and abilities lie. And those things go well beyond what is passed around here in this realm in the form of beliefs, concepts, and ideologies. Real talents and abilities and knowingness comes way before that. That's the sentience. That's what we really are. And when someone is like that, like you are, the way it's described is you're from another planet. But that's because you haven't let the frequencies here completely condition and affect your mind. You're still tapped into what you really are. And in the simplest way, we could just say that upon awakening from emergency surgery, I had literally awakened into authentic cosmic consciousness. So I understood what was needed to be done. But we all have this ability. This is the key to understand. It's not just Pat. It's not just RJ. We are all the sentience given a body of energy, but you have to start to let go of your identifications, your beliefs, your concepts, your ideologies, because that's not imagination.
Mm-hmm.
That's programming. And so when you drop that, you can actually tap into your imagination. And one way you can do it, you can all do it right now, is to simply pretend that you just arrived here, no past, no future. Now, when you do that, you might have felt a shift. I'm sure none of you could think when you do that. Hence, there's meditation for you, because the self is meditation. The reason why that's a real magic trick is because the past and future are the stories that you tell yourself. They're not actually true. They're the stories that you tell yourself. So when you pretend that you just arrived here, no past, no future, the mind stops, the soul emerges, and now your imagination can be tapped into as much as you like.
You know what I love about this? Because when you start from that place, then it opens up the door for me to literally think about what you talk about later on in the book. And that is to know specifically what you want to achieve. Specifically is the key, right? Because you can have a generalization. But what, and you go on to talk about it, you know, the order of creation is desire, intention, thought, emotion, action, then behavior. Nothing happens, so to speak, until there's desire. This is, I think, if people were to take one thing away from our chat today, from this interview, is giving ourselves the gift of desire. Now, I can't generalize for what it's like for people, but a lot of folks say that women are socialized, and this is a thinking, and what you desire becomes second. That goes for men too. That desire is that thing that can find a place when everything else on your task list is done. And that's not what you're talking about here. Because if we do that, how often do you think we actually get to that real, true desire? Not the fake one that you compromise about when you get done with the list or you finish your day job or whatever it is. But true desire, if we gave ourselves permission to do that, then what you talk about setting intention later on in the book, otherwise we come up with a pseudo desire, like a maybe fake, like faux desire, and we get a faux desire result. Can you talk to desire for a minute? Because it is so critical, and we're so caught in that EMI perspective, because I'm not going to desire that thing out there, because the reality is, the odds of me actually getting it are 1,000,000 to 1. See, we already convince ourselves because we have not done what you said 5 minutes ago, and that is clear the board, right? Let's talk about that. I have a friend that's a horse racing guy, and that's all he does, horse racing. And I talk to him every once in a while, and I said, I was amazed by you. You know, do you study, like, the papers, and do you look at, you know, like, what the horse did? He said, everybody does that. And very rarely do they look at what the horse is the day of the race. They don't even look at the horse. They don't look at the horse. They don't feel the energy of the horse. And I'm telling you, we're living and looking at our past races to define what we're going to be doing tomorrow. So help us out in the time we have left.
Yeah, if you identify with your past, your future is already determined. So you might as well just stop if you're identifying with your past. That's one way to look at it. Okay, so let me give an analogy because, I like silly analogies, and two, because how else do you take the indescribable and describe it, which is my task in this incarnation. So if you have one goal for the day, okay, and let's just say it's to go grocery shopping. We're just making this up, okay?
That's good.
Gonna go grocery shop. Got to get that done today, right? Okay. And so, your car, right? You have a limited amount of gas in that gas tank, right? Okay. So if your one desire is to go to the grocery store and get groceries. But as soon as you set out to do that, you go, oh, wait a minute. Oh, you know what? Let me stop by my friend's house. I haven't seen her in a while. Oh, and you know what? And I need to return this package that's in the back seat to the post. Oh, and you know what? Oh, my God, I got this document. I got to bring up to work. Okay. So you are not going to have the energy. You are not going to have the gas in your gas tank to achieve the one desire that you set out to do from the beginning, which is go to the grocery store. Okay? Now, this is an analogy, but this is what happens with human beings. We have a certain amount of energy. And if we're not using it in direct union with our highest desire, then we're never, ever going to be able to accomplish these tasks because we have simply leaked and wasted all of our energy, and we use energy for everything. We've now wasted our energy, and we've never even bothered to follow through on our intentionality because the gas tank's already been tapped out by making all these pit stops that are unnecessary, that are not in tune with our highest desire. So going back to what you said, Pat, which is why there's a whole section in the book about know specifically what you're going to achieve.
Yeah.
This is paramount.
Yeah.
Another reason why it's paramount to understand is that we must be able to harness all of our energy and direct it with a single-pointedness of focus in one direction, because when you do that, there is an infinitely greater possibility that desire will come into manifestation. So this is part of the key of healing, is that you have to take all the energy that we're spilling and giving away and thinking, emoting, doing, take all that energy, know specifically what you're going to achieve in terms of your health, all the energy that you would have normally wasted, right? Harness it and target it directly, specifically for what it is that you're trying to achieve, there is a far, far, far greater chance of that healing or that manifestation coming into reality because you're harnessing with single points of purpose. You're not leaking your energy on this pit stop, this thought, this emotion. This is key to understand in terms of healing and any kind of achievement in this world.
And, you know, what you're talking about is really critical in terms of, let's just call it healing for a moment. And the reason I think it's, you know, critical is there are so many stories that I've heard and people I've known that diagnosed 3 weeks to live, stage gazillion cancer, and decided to, in their words, pray. Now, what that meant for them, it was more like a mantra. It was more like a meditation. It wasn't, please stop me from the sickness. No, it was my body is strong and well. I am able to climb mountains. It was that kind of thing. And there's an energy when you speak that word, right? There's an energy to it. You know, there's a life that you breathe into something that might be invisible. And how did you use that? Because that's different than a certain mantra. Now, I have a mantra that I use, and it is something I learned a long time ago. I don't know. I think Deb Engel gave it to me. I say over in my mind, I don't even have to think about it, thank you, God, thank you, universe, thank you, spirit. It's just thank you. It's like over and over and over and over and over again. I'm not sure how I got that, but I, like you, I was not well. And I would be thank you for everything, even if I locked myself in the bathroom because I couldn't unlock the door. So what is this about, in this few minutes we have left, how can we help people rise up to know? Because our brain wants us to know. How can they learn from your journey a new way of being?
Well, they can learn by getting the book and following the teachings, because these are not theories, concepts, or beliefs.
Right.
You don't heal yourself through theories, concepts, and beliefs, contrary to maybe what is accepted within the spiritual world about you heal yourself through belief. But this is, I'm telling you, this is nonsense. Healing occurs prior to belief, prior to concepts, prior to ideologies. It has to do with pure desire and intention, which are higher frequencies than thought, emotion, action, and behavior. So when you operate at pure desire and intention, you are operating at a more potent level, which greatly affects what we call the physical universe. So you must harness your desire and intention by knowing specifically what you're going to achieve, and then work with a single-pointedness of purpose in order to bring this into manifestation. This is physics. This is not spiritual woo-woo. This is not whatever you want to call it. This is the same type of understanding that Tesla brought to us about vibration, frequency, and energy. It's similar, it's not the exact same thing, but it's similar in terms of a discovering for our own body of energy and how by tapping into our supreme vibration, which is the self, we raise our frequency and our body of energy, including our physical body, is naturally harmonized and cleansed because disharmony cannot exist within a high-frequency environment. It's that simple. So by attuning ourselves, forget the beliefs, concepts, and ideologies. And again, pretend you just arrived here, no past, no future. Now that blank state right there, start there. Now ask yourself, what is my highest desire? And now you're not going to be blocked by what's possible because there's no story you're telling yourself. So this is the beginning of the foundational understanding of how to enact self-healing and self-realization.
Mm-hmm.
The key is to transcend that little finite mind, which is just based upon the condition that occurs through incarnation, which is the information that comes into the five senses that we identify with, and that forms your conceptualized reality of who you think you are. And who you think you are conceptually, mentally, your body then has the tangible experience of that. This is the key to understand, the beginning of it.
Oh, you know, first of all, let me thank you so much for joining me today. Again, I would love for people to know how to get a copy of the book, how to find out more about you. I mean, you've laid it out here clearly for people. How do we go ahead and do that? Tell us how to do that.
In terms of purchasing the book, they can go to Amazon and pre-order it. It actually, I believe it's supposed to come out in about a week or two. The audio and the Kindle come out November 8th, paperback shortly thereafter. But I urge people to go to superchargedselfhealing.com as well and get your free guide to some of these magic tricks that I'm alluding to. And make no mistake, these are real magic tricks that completely change your energy. And I know these things tangibly, which is what I started to do with myself. So please avail yourself of these things that instantly relieve your stress and anxiety. And for those that want to work with me, go to ascendthefrequencies.com, which is my personal website. And as you said earlier, my email, oddly enough, is rj@ascendthefrequencies.com.
RJ, thank you. One last question. What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with today?
Give yourself permission to heal. Give yourself permission to achieve whatever your highest desire is. Give yourself permission. You deserve it. It is your divine right. It is your destiny. It is inevitable. And no one is going to give it to you or for you because they cannot.
Mm.
It is up to you. So start today with giving yourself permission to heal and giving yourself permission to achieve whatever your highest desire is.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your alternative talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. Well, good thing, folks. So far, no major blocking or accidents to report at the moment. Traffic section looking pretty good. Just a small little stop-and-go issue on I-5 northbound around 44th Avenue West. But again, everything's looking pretty good. Enjoy your Monday afternoon. Coming up shortly. And another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network, the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By, and the Healing Power of Pleasure. Seven medicines for rediscovering the innate joy. NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. A rule requiring most workers to get vaccinated against COVID-19 is coming soon. That's what the Department of Labor says as the Biden administration gets ready to publish its rule on mandatory vaccinations. Meantime, about 9,000 New York City employees are on unpaid leave starting today due to the coronavirus vaccine mandate that went into effect. The UN Secretary General is issuing a stark warning at the International Climate Summit in Scotland. Antonio Guterres said today the world is digging its own grave because we're so reliant on fossil fuels. Guterres insisted the world is at a critical point and urged global leaders to be ambitious and come together. The names of three women who died after their vehicle was struck by a train in South Carolina are being released. The Charleston County coroner says the victims are from Syracuse, New York, and North Charleston, South Carolina. Officials say a fourth person that was in the wrecked vehicle survived. Forecasters are tracking the 21st named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season. Rick Hochul has details.
Subtropical Storm Wanda is located in the North Atlantic west of the Azores. It could become a tropical storm on Tuesday, but is not expected to strengthen significantly and is not threatening any land. Meanwhile, a tropical wave well out in the Atlantic is also being given a low chance of developing. Forecasters will turn to a supplemental name list for the rest of the season, which runs through the end of the month.
The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is set to make a full comeback this year in New York City. James Flippin has more.
Crowds will once again align the Manhattan Parade route, and human handlers will be used to pull along the giant helium balloons after vehicles were used in 2020. Last year, the route was also contained to the front of Macy's flagship store in Herald Square as a way to reduce crowds. When the parade steps off later this month, it will feature 28 floats, 36 inflatables, and 15 giant character balloons, which will include Baby Yoda from The Mandalorian for the first time. Of course, Santa Claus will be there at the end of the parade, as is tradition.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
If you're successful in life, you understand the concept of protecting yourself. Let me ask you this. Are you protecting your family and your assets with quality term life insurance? At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000, $1 million, or more. So call us right now for a free, no-pressure quote. 800-509-1741. 800-509-1741. 800-509-1741.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday. We'll see mostly cloudy skies and a slight chance of rain showers today. High temperatures around 58, 59 degrees. Tonight, light rain showers in selected areas along with partly cloudy skies. Low down to about 45. For Tuesday and for the rest of the week, pretty much clouds and rain expected. High temperatures in the mid to upper 50s with low temperatures in the upper 40s to low 50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, we're continuing the conversation here because what? Well, I'll tell you why. You know, think about what we talked about previously, and think about this thing that we don't allow ourselves to do, and that is desire. What does that mean when we don't allow ourselves to do it? And, you know, I know you're probably thinking and listening to me and saying, yeah, I do allow myself to do it. Do we? Really? Do we? Julia Hollenberry is joining me here today. Do we really? Do we really allow pleasure in our lives? I want to just keep harping that question like that. The Healing Power of Pleasure, Seven Medicines for Rediscovering the Innate Joy of Being. Julia's joining me here today because you're going to hear about personal healing, spiritual transformation, and the journey. And why do we share these stories? I'll tell you something. If you're listening to podcasts and they don't tell some stories about this, are you able to relate? See, are you able to relate to the notion that people had gone through some stuff and they decide, I'm going to write this. Julia Paulette is writing this book and saying, I'm going to share this. Because not just being a therapist, but a mystic, a healer, a facilitator has helped countless people navigate the waters of doubt, navigate the waters of unidentifying oneself, navigate the waters of compromising and minimizing our desire and ability to love and be loved. But what if we could let go of all of that? What if we could do what we talked about, is there is no past, there is no, there's, here we are. We have a clean slate right now. How much do you think you compromise? But let's talk about the healing power of pleasure for a moment, because I've often wondered, why were we given this? And now we have a word for it. It's called pleasure. But why were we given the ability to experience this? And it is one of the things in life that we will cut off faster than you can shake a stick. Julia, it's great to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. What do you think about that? Is that true? Is that a little self-projection? But it's true. You know, these two words, desire and pleasure, and we have so stunted their growth. You know, it is if these two things that we were given innately, that as human beings, right, that we have this within ourselves. And yet, the day-to-day, here we go. We're going to be last on the list. Pleasure is not in the vocabulary. Maybe my schedule is. Delight's not in my car. I want to ask you, given what you're writing about, given what you've put in this great book, right? Can't wait to talk about the medicine of sensing. Given everything you have in here, I would love to know what challenges, what obstacles you had to overcome to get to this point, to get to be the teacher of this, something so important.
I began with birth trauma and brain damage. The loss of a twin in the womb and not wanting to live.
Mm.
And lots of feeling alone and wrong and having no words to describe my own experience. And as I grew up, I guess I broke several times as a teenager, as a young adult. Again and again, actually, until my healing journey gathered enough strength for me to really be here, brave and whole enough to be able to really be here, me.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I love the way you phrased that, because that's given me a new insight. You know, people ask me, you know, how did I become the queen of positivity? Now I have a new word for it. I have broke several times in my life to really realize that there is another option, that there is another way. But when we think about what we cut ourselves off from, I can't help to think about this journey that you write about of sensuality and rediscovering, you know, this feeling of delight, this just beautiful sense of ourselves. And yet, we just keep cutting it off and cutting it off and cutting it off, don't we?
We live in a culture that glamorizes being very busy and suffering and being in pain and having a miserable time is somehow seen as ticket to belonging. And I remember being very young and knowing without doubt that there was so much more pleasure than I saw the people around me really living.
Yeah, I think in your book, you start out by saying, you know, here we are, we grew up and we thought that our pleasure and desire was dependent upon other people.
Right.
Right. And, you know, if I were to think about where we are today and sort of the, you know, addiction of that, I believe that we are so addicted to that thought right there, just beyond belief, the idea that we are not going to have or experience pleasure, we're not going to have desire show up because Mary Jo is not going to give it to us, or I'm not going to get it from this job, or I'm dot, 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 dot.
It's become a fight, right? It's become addiction. It's become a fight. And what we call pleasure is pretty short-lived. It's sugary. It's not really satisfying. It's something we feel that we've got to grab. We've got to get it from somebody else. Otherwise, we won't have it. And often we feel we've got to get it perhaps at someone else's expense. But that ain't the truth. That ain't the whole truth. The truth is that pleasure is absolutely here for us, for all of us, any time. And the whole time that we've been talking, I've been thinking about my daughter when she was much younger and splashing about in a puddle and how much fun she had. And I remember most people who walked past smiled. It lit something up in them. But one person frowned and stopped and had something to say to me. You know, you shouldn't and you oughtn't. And it's right here, really, for all of us. And it's a tremendous shame.
It is a shame, isn't it? I moved to the Pacific Northwest. Okay, you're going to love this because let's talk about, you talk about feeling unseen, but this story you just shared right there, okay, this happens every day in our lives. Now, when I moved to the Pacific Northwest, we're close to Hawaii. And I have friends, when I moved here, people, I was in a relationship with someone born in Hawaii. And so here we are, and I'm introduced to the Hawaiian culture. Now, I'm not saying this is true of everybody in Hawaii, so please don't email me. But the comfort with the body that I saw in the people in Hawaii was shocking to so many people that are not from Hawaii. When my friend said, let's go swimming in the waterfalls in the pond, and everybody's taking their clothes off, you can just hear a pin drop about how absolutely horrified half of the people were to do that. But nobody said anything. Slowly, within an hour's worth of time, it didn't become a thing anymore.
Right.
And, you know, this idea now of the comfort that we've established for feeling unseen, we've almost settled on it, but your book is really calling us forward to really see that as not a place we were meant to be. We were not meant to be unseen. I would have been given my own planet. Right? But boy, did we glom on to that, right? So you talk about three messes, and I was really struck by this as I'm thinking about my friends and the first time we experienced the waterfall. And then I remember the second time my friend said, let's go swimming, and half the people didn't go. We had the individual mess, the collective mess, and the global mess. Is pleasure messy?
Yes. Gloriously messy, fundamentally messy, dripping with mess, saliva, tears, you know, writhing bodies, sensuality, colors, fragrances, textures. Your story reminds me of when we were younger and we visited an island in France. And everybody there had no clothes on. And they were just absolutely going about their business. And it was delightful. It was delicious. It was glorious. So there's nowhere to hide. I mean, yeah, pleasure is messy, but messy in a good way, as in a natural way. This is how humans are. This is how nature is. It's not straight lines. It's not neat and tidy. But it's not chaos either. It is alive, and it's rich, and it's sensual, and it is our nature.
Yeah. One of the things I was going through the book, and after I read it the first time, and I came back the second time to get ready to talk with you today, my brain went to, wow, this book is about from messy to magic. Now, that's my words. The book is not, I mean, that's my little soundbite for it. But we so desire for it to be that way. We so desire for us to have the freedom. You know, so people ask the question, they ask me all the time, you know, what do you think, Pat?
you know, what do you think about the fight for freedom? And, you know, I'm struck by two things that goes on inside of me. Freedom is a choice. What I do thereafter and the actions I take about it are, again, a choice. But when it comes to desire and pleasure, we've been given the ability to fully explore them. What's in the way? What is getting in our way?
Ideas, stress, the to-do list, wanting things to be perfect, not enough time, not enough this, not enough that. I mean, it takes courage, right? It takes courage to choose pleasure.
Yeah.
And actually, your words are accurate. The book is about the journey from mess to magic, the journey into magicalness and pleasure and delight and happiness and bliss and joy and fun and playfulness are part of the magic that in the ordinary everyday world seems beyond reach,
yeah.
Seems impossible. It seems dangerous. It seems forbidden.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved yesterday for a lot of reasons. One, I got to tell you, it's one of my favorite time of the year. It always has been since I was a little kid. You know, the whole Halloween thing since I was a little kid was always like a super time for me. But yesterday, it was the first time that people actually came out, right, in 2 years, that people were actually coming out. Not a whole lot of people came out, but some of them did. And it was a fascinating journey because I'm living in a different place, so I'm not used to how long it takes to get from one of the rooms that I sit in to the front door. And normally people wait, but this year they didn't. Front door, right where I'm sitting. And I realized after about 4 or 5 times of this, why don't I just sit outside? Because I didn't want to miss it. You know, I had gotten the candy for the kids, and they were all dressed up, and they were cool, and their parents were bringing them around, all ages, right? And I realized, why don't I just do that? It's a moment that I give myself to experience something that I lit up about as a kid, right? And all the thoughts that come in that will tell you not to do something like that. Should I wear a mask? And then I thought, well, I could put on my mask. I had my feathered mask. But how often do we convince ourselves to let go of our sensitivity, to let go of our instinct, to really put it on the sidelines for something that we think is logical or something that would get us to the shoulds? I should do that.
So here in London yesterday, there was a traffic jam of trick-or-treaters, parents and children all dressed up gloriously. So that was great fun. I think we edit ourselves. I think it's with the logic that we try and get to the logic. I think the instincts are to be trusted often. The gut instinct, the intuition, the impulse that we often don't find easy to follow. It's our edited selves, our attempt to put ourselves all together and be civilized with our masks and our correct behavior. And you're fun to talk to. And I mean, the wildness is just rippling there, really, for everybody to have an official excuse. And yesterday was one of those sanctioned times that we could do that.
Yeah. My biggest move of the evening was when it got really late. And I just left the whole bag of candy out. I just left it out. I was like, okay, you know, if you come by, you're going to have the candy. I don't care. If the squirrels want the candy, they can have the candy. If the mice want the candy, they can have the candy. Because there was something about opening up. And your book talks about this. And I want to really go through this because the healing power of pleasure, the 7 medicines, this is so brilliantly described to me. This is just brilliantly described. And I want to take a minute to go through what this means. Because when you read and when I go through the book, especially the second time, I'm asking myself this year, right?
I'm going through and I'm saying, wonder if I'm doing that one. Wonder if I'm doing the medicine of deepening. Okay, I got to read that one again. Let me just get back to that one. And then I go through the medicine of relating. And I'm going through these for the second time and listening to what you're suggesting for us. And I thought to myself, boy, if we could just pick one of each of these, transformation isn't even the word. How were you transformed writing this? Because you can't write, I'm sorry, I've been doing this for like 18 years. You can't write a book like this. I mean, you know, the last time that I read anything like this, I shaved my head. So you said something had to happen to you along the way to getting this book born.
Okay, so I'll tell you the story.
All right, tell me.
Well, I'll tell you some of the stories. I was a lost little girl, and I always knew without doubt that I would one day write a book. And it is amazing to me that through the ups and downs, and there's been a lot of downs in life, that this has happened. That I have written the book half a lifetime ago in my 20s. I began writing the first draft, knowing that when I was healed and evolved and transformed, the second part of the book would be written. And that was like a raw emotional outpouring. And there's one poem from that first draft that made it into the final book, because my interest, my passion, what my heart knows and wants to share has always been the same throughout my life. If I look, you know, it's always been this same topic. And then there was a moment, and I can't say what precipitated it, but I began to write. It was morning, it was evening, it was the middle of the night, it was on train stations, it was in bed, it was in the park, it was in the cafe. And it was really like life was co-creating this book with me. I'd be writing about something and stuff would be happening around me that exactly chimed in with it, that was supporting it. And so it was fantastic for me to give expression to what I've always known. And the way that this book has come into being has definitely been supported by the wings of grace. The way that it happened that I met the publisher, it's fantastic. Here I am in London talking to you in America. This book is being internationally published. It all happened in such a way that... it's clear that it needs to reach the people it needs to reach. And you asked, how's it transformed me? I'm shy. I'm super shy. Yeah. I'm really shy. My first language is actually without words. Putting language to all of this and starting to be visible and audible with what has been inside of me for such a long time. And I always stayed silent because it was better, I felt, to stay silent than to run the risk of being called pretentious or arrogant. That would have been awful. So I stayed silent for a very long time. And, you know, over the years, I was lucky enough that a teacher here or somebody saw me and I had a couple of sentences of reflection back. And it is extraordinary to me. And I'm hugely grateful. And it feels precise and on track to be where I am now.
I love it. And I knew there was the story underneath there, because when people hear how shy I am or how introverted I am, they don't believe it. They're like, no. And I'm like, look at my Myers-Briggs scores. To this day, just look. But when I got behind a mic, right, 18 years ago, something happened. You could call it channeled. Some people would say what you just described was a channeled experience. But I think it's more like you talk about in the book. I think it's more like evolution from enslaved to empower. Mm-hmm. One of the things you talk about in the book, and then you also present us with these delicious ingredients. And I'm thinking, yes, delicious. Why not?
Why not be part of that movement? Why not explore that movement? Why not make on your list, if you absolutely have got to have the to-do list, yes, I even do laundry. If you have to have it, why not have something there that is delicious, that is juicy, that is about the medicine that Julia talks about pleasure. Now, I would love to give a copy of the book away, Benny. Let's go ahead and give our first copy, 1-800-930-2819. And by the way, you want to talk about deliciousness, go to universeofdeliciousness.com. That's one place you could go. But what does that mean, everybody? We're going to take a short break. I just want you to see if you can lean into this a minute. If you could just, like, erase, whatever. Like, if you're listening to the podcast, just take a minute and just think. Better yet, know. What's your pleasure? What's your deliciousness, Mojo? What is it that you can envisage for yourself? That moment that maybe not now. Okay, I know you're driving. That's all right. Don't be doing crazy now. But are you going to allow yourself to go from enslaved to empower? When we come back, I'm not going to help you with that, but Julia is, because that's what she is. She is an embodied spiritual teacher, healing alignment and transformation. She's lived it. She breathes it. And the book is just so beautifully done. And even if you get through one of the medicines and do what's in here, you will move the meter. And that's what we're talking about today. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back. Life can be demanding, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free coaching consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com.
Who taught you or your kids how to handle stress? That's right, no one. I'm combat veteran Deb Lewis. And I'm on a mission to change that. My new children's book, Why is Pono Not Pono Today, is set in Hawaii. Lovable characters, Pono the Bull and his friend Kuleana, show us how a stressful situation ends happily. Look closer to reveal powerful ways to handle all types of stress. Start loving your stress-filled life today. Go to mentallytoughwomen.com.
Well, some of us are outwardly successful, but inwardly feel unhappy and living a life lacking in purpose and meaning. It just doesn't feel good. Well, The Necktie and the Jaguar by Carl Greer can help you discover what's important to you and how to go for it. For more information or purchase the book, go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or CarlGreer.com.
Jennifer Noel Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as well as reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit QuantumTouch.com. Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit youarepurepotential.com for more info.
Can you truly say that you know and love yourself Corny Cottrell is an author, speaker, and 21-year active duty master chief with the U.S. Navy, here to encourage you to take back your power and live your life with intention and purpose. Tune in to Unapologetically Favored every fourth Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Walk in your purpose. Visit unapologeticallyfavored.com to learn more about Corny.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Hey, Julia, how do people find out about you? How did they get a copy of the book? And you're right. I mean, you know, our contact in working with this company, we've been working with Inner Traditions for a really long time. Manzanita is just amazing. And so, you know, how do people find out about this? How do they get a copy of the book? But more importantly, how do they find out about you, right? Because who doesn't want to let the big you out? Who doesn't want to do that? How do they find out about you, and how do they get a copy of the book?
The book is available amazingly everywhere that books are sold. It's a paperback, an audiobook, a Kindle, an ebook.
Yeah.
It's available literally anywhere. My website is universeofdeliciousness.com, and I'm out there posting on social media and...
True confessions, because you did a true confession. I do a little one, too. Early on, I didn't have any rules to doing what I'm doing today, and I still don't, because I'm not a broadcast person. I dialed the wrong phone number 18 years ago. That's why we're even here. I started a network 12 years ago, almost the same way. But out of the gate, I started to talk about orgasms, and I got more, like, you know, to put, can you even say that 18 years ago? And I just thought to myself, well, wait a minute, I'm just reading Dr. Northrup's book, and I'm just, like, reading about the body, and, like, why can't I read this book? I don't understand. The book is out there, right? So I understood early on that in order for me to be able to speak about the things I want to speak about, I had to be an independent network. I had to be not associated with other people that are going to censor me. But we are all about censoring the sensing.
Right.
We have got to stop that, or else we're not going to let the big you out.
So you introduced earlier the movement from being enslaved to being empowered.
Yeah, that's right.
And the thing is that there is so, and, you know, you've just told your lovely personal story about your movement to being uncensored, your uncensored voice, right, as a broadcaster. Our delight contains so much of our personal power and our personal wisdom. And when we cut off ourselves from our sensual, subtle sensitivity, our spiritual wisdom, we are cutting ourselves off from the roots, and we become these shrill, high-pitched voices, full of anxiety, full of the past, full of the future, full of the to-do list, and we don't drop down into the richness of the body where our power lies, where we know without doubt what's the right thing to do, even if it comes about through an accident, right?
Yeah.
You know, we know. And it's being able to listen to that inner knowing. That's what matters for us as individuals, and I think for us collectively as a planet, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We need access to a wisdom that is deeper and richer and wiser than all our clever ideas. And when we're in touch with that sensuality, we are in touch with something that's way bigger than us, that comes through us, through the body.
Yeah, I hope, now, I want to comment on this. I grew up, couldn't read and write. Really a struggle for me. I'm what you call learning different. But I read and write, and I learned how to do it. But I also learned the power of poetry, what we call poetry, right? I learned it from Bob Dylan, number one. Back in the day, I used to go have coffee with Dylan, right? But his words, you see, and I stuttered. So it was fascinating to me that a man could get out that many words in such a short period of time and have it be so powerful.
And I'm reading your book, and I'm just crying. My eyes are filling up on some of the poems in here. And one of them is Love Making Love in the book, right? And now I've read them all, and I'm hoping someday you're going to pull these out and maybe have a separate little book, guidebook, something separate. You come through so powerfully in this book. Now, I don't know how much the publisher cut out or how much they changed it.
Incredibly so.
I am so grateful that they didn't change who you are in your message. Because, you see, you can't write a book like this from an academic perspective. That can't happen. And I knew this was you when I got to this poem. I knew that somebody enabled you, empowered you to be you. What is the message we can share today for people listening to this podcast? I'm talking to all of you right now. So I'm just going to look at you, and I'm going to talk to you right now. Because you know what I'm saying to you. We're all doing it. We're all having that place where we're desiring this and we're settling for this, right? We all have that place where our heart is becoming so crusted over. But you know what I like about crust? You can knock it off. You can just get rid of it. You can have your truth. And this is what Julia's doing in this book. Let's talk about what we want to say to the people that have given up on their pleasure, their fulfillment, as you talk about later in the book, their dreams and their desires. Because your book is that invitation, I think.
I want people to know that however much they are hurting or feeling lost or even desperate, that there is always hope. There is always somebody who you can connect with. And your body is your best friend, actually. And you can choose pleasure over and over and over again. It is a choice. It's a gentle choice of kindness to oneself and kindness to others to make a plate of food that is beautiful and delicious, and to take the time to prepare it or to set the table or to set your work desk or to dress the way that feels just lovely for you. It's kind of a really soft, subtle, yeah, gentle, melting kind of pleasure that we're talking about here. And it also comes through just plain being kind to yourself. Yes, you're frustrated, or yes, you're angry, or yes, you're happy, or yes, you're sad, or yes, you're grieving. And within each of those feelings is a multitude, is a dimension, is a universe of a cascade or waterfall of sensations and experiences of deliciousness. It's like it is right here, if you can dare to stay with yourself, you will find that there is this rich, right pleasurableness just underneath that fast, frantic, rushing about trying to please others surface. If you kind of just pull back a little bit, pull into yourself, stay with yourself, you will find that things will split open like a ripe peach or a ripe fig or a pomegranate or a finger in a pot of honey, and there will be the delight. Simple. Not for always, you know, it'll up and down and change and flow, but there'll be enough again and again that will sustain and nourish you. And in these intense and uncertain times, we all need as much resource and ballast and support and deliciousness to help us through the difficulty.
I'm going to ask Jacob to pull that clip out. We're going to distribute that clip, because what you just shared, look, One of the things that I think you and I have learned over a bit of a time in life experiences is that if we could experience just what you said, we build up a bank account. And it's a bank account that helps us heal something that wouldn't allow us there, that allows us now to stand on those shoulders and continue. I was thrilled later on in the book, and this is what you just said led me to. I am thrilled that you have a chapter and you didn't change the name of the chapter, because many people do. So when you talk about the medicine of empowering, you didn't call it empowering, you called it power. It is a very difficult word for women, and I will generalize this because the issues, the studies all point to it. But we're more comfortable talking about empowering than power. We are so willing to give up the power that we have within, our instinctual, our psychic abilities. But here you are. And you say, we often think about external power and currency and all, and we think about those things. It's short-lived. And you go on to say we become exhausted. Oh, my God. We become exhausted, dissatisfied, hungry for more and more. I studied integrity, and I wish I would have had this quote in my study. This is what you say. That the accompanying loss of our personal integrity is a loss of our true personal power. That is a powerful statement. And then you go on to talk about, for the rest of the book, as we move into aliveness. Tell me about this chapter on power. I noticed the publisher didn't cut it. And I could tell from the words that you're using in here, and you say time to grow up. Okay. This had to be included in your book, didn't it?
You know, when there was the editing process, the editor did so little. And I, you know, was like, is what I thought, okay? And they were like, they were given the guide to do the minimal possible. I was like, come on, edit me. They allowed a lot in.
Yeah.
So the notion of power, the way we normally think about power, is a masculinized way of power, right? It's physical power, and it's power often over, as opposed to what, you know, the more feminine way of power is to do with the body, and it's to do with inclusion, and it's to do with relationship, and it's to do with creating beauty, and it's to do with sensing and creating order in the home. And these things are not mere trifles. They're not mere decoration and mere silly feminine fripperies. There is a tremendous power in holding the home, in bringing up children, in being true and honest. That's for, of course, for all genders. So we are, us humans are incredibly powerful. Way more powerful than we are encouraged to believe,
mm-hmm.
by the way that we are, most of us, brought up. And that power is a good power. It's not a bad power, as parents or teachers might fear the power of children. It's a positive power. Everybody inside of them really wants to make a positive difference in the world. Everybody inside of them has got a nugget that they know that they've got something special that they've got to offer the world in this way or that way. Everybody knows, has got their own dreams and hopes, and I believe in humans, and there is tremendous,
yeah.
powerfulness in all of us.
Yeah.
And together, if we were to really live that, I think we'd create something very beautiful.
And I think you had to talk about it before potency. I think you had to talk about it before this notion of aliveness, because one of the things that so often we think is not powerful is what you talk about, vulnerability is strength. Vulnerability is strength. I mean, that took me a lot of years to figure that out. but also, you know, freedom and choice and self-love. And it then gets us to the place now. Matt James said to me a lot of years ago when I first started doing this, and I really was doubting myself, but I was talking to him about it. And he said, which is one of his famous quotes, you know, Pat, whatever you think you are, you're more than that. I never forgot that quote, and I live that every day, whatever you think you are, because what he's reminding me of is the mind's ability to harness a limitation that the heart and imagination knows nothing of. And when I read your chapter on aliveness, and I read your chapter on potency, and especially, thank you for the Einstein quote, imagination will take you everywhere. And so often we grow up being told not to imagine. Isn't this the time now for us to literally rev up, create the deliciousness of imagination, and not bust out of the box, but live as if there were no box? Is that what you're asking us here?
I think that the healing journey is both not simple and incredibly simple at the same time. And I don't know, I just feel so hopeful in this moment. It's like, again, it's like a subtle sidestep from all the ideas that the outside world gives us. I remember this story that I used to love when I was younger. May I share? It's from a
book
I read. It's from a science fiction story. And it was of this being that was absolutely free and could travel anywhere in the universe. And then it arrived on this planet. It arrived in this playground. And one of the children saw this alien and went, "You're so-and-so." And the so-and-so was trapped. The free alien was trapped as so-and-so. The children had been playing hide-and-seek. And that being was trapped forever in the way that the other saw him.
Mm.
So the task is to free ourselves, not to believe the stories, the labels, the judgments, the criticisms that other people have towards us. And then we take on and we, with the slings and arrows, we point that stuff at ourselves. And so it's a journey to liberate ourselves from all that stuff because we are free and we are wise and we are powerful and we are delicious.
Well, this is what you say about entering the universe of deliciousness. I love this. I love when you say, number one, imagination is the muscle of the soul. Oh, boy. So it is, right? And, you know, I moved to Seattle and I started to sketch. Just picked up a pad and just, and then I stopped. It was a period of time in my life. And about a week ago, I came across the first sketch I did. And I looked at it and I said, I don't remember doing that. And I looked at its symmetry. I looked at its symbolism. Really quite detailed, and I'm not a detailed person. And I started to look at it so carefully, and yet my imagination then got lost in it when I stopped thinking about it, and I remembered the feeling of it. Yeah. So what I love is deliciousness. All you have to do is hear that word to be able to pinpoint an imagined place of that, or a feeling, or a thing. But your invitation is for us to live this life in the universe of deliciousness. And I think the first step is we've got to be able to imagine that that's ours, right?
Right. There is hope. There's loads of hope. The potential is
huge and it's not very far away. And for each person, the way in is completely different. For some people, it's music, and for others, it's art, and for some, it's writing, and for others, it's healing animals. For some, it's gardening. You know, it kind of doesn't matter what your thing is. It's follow your thing. Find your thing and follow your thing. Can be sport, can be absolutely anything. Whatever it is that lights you up, do a bit more of it. It's kind of so simple. And yes, hope. Mm. Hope and imagination somehow go together.
I love the way you ended the book. And I just want to say to everybody out there, first of all, The Healing Power of Pleasure, Seven Medicines for Rediscovering the Innate Joy of Being. And I want to say this. Every chapter, you're going to learn something. Everything is spelled out beautifully in each of these medicines, everything, including the one I'm talking about, potency, as well as imagination. There are exercises. There are poems. You will actually take this journey where you see that part of this is maybe the maturity as integration, but this is the universe of deliciousness. And you say universe of deliciousness is God. And I love the way you really brought that in. And then you introduce us into one of the most powerful, powerful energies, I think, on the planet. And I'd love for you to talk about it. When you say, and so our story continues, there it was, gratitude. It's such an important energy, isn't it? Gratitude, Julia, for you.
I'm thinking of all the people who were once children, and all the children had a spark of hope in them and a knowing of the future and the world and what it could be. And I think every single person gets crushed in one way or another. All our stories are different. But everybody gets hurt along the way. And there's hope for everybody. And there are many ways to reclaim that power and deliciousness. Imagination, gratitude. There's many technologies. There's many, many ways to get there. And ultimately, it's realizing that life is not against us. We're not in a competition with other people. We're not in a competition with our siblings or our colleagues or our neighbors. We're not in competition with life. Actually, life really wants the best for us. And when we can get out of our own silly ways, when we can find our way through to that subtle, neutral deliciousness, when we can come back again and again and again to ourselves and to our own experiences, to our own vulnerability and to our own pleasure, then we see and we find that life is all the time bringing us experiences that we can really learn from and is bringing us good stuff for us to find. But we have to do our part. We have to play our part. We can't sit there with our feet up and zone out and be lazy and expect life to play the game with us, to love life through us, right? Life, loving life. And it's not hard work either. It is just kind of engaging in the playfulness of being here now and being active and in our lives and in our bodies. And life is good. There is goodness for all of us.
You asked some very important questions, which I first of all, I love the questions. Second, I love what you're sharing with us and what we can do. And I want to make sure that everybody knows how to get a copy of the book. It's pretty much available everywhere, correct? Right? And then they will be able to find out more about you. They can go to your website, universeofdeliciousness.com. They could find out about you. They can get copies of the book. But you take us on this journey and you bring us to this place where you ask us these questions. You know, can we unite the oppositions within us and outside of us? Can we love what is even when what is not easy? Can we regard change as creative? Can we find the deliciousness within the disaster? Can we nourish ourselves from within? Can we trust life? Can we coexist and co-create with life as a part of life? And then this is what you say. The universe is without limitation in its creativity. May we live our wisdom and pleasure in sensual, soulful, sensitive exchange with others, with depth and with earth. May deliciousness flow through us, loving deliciousness in everything and everyone else. May we co-create heaven on earth, even if that doesn't look anything like what we thought it would. A new Eden, beginning everything again, all over again. May we be surprised, humbled, and delighted. And I want to thank you for that.
Thank you for reading it.
What would you like to leave us with? What's your personal message for today?
That it's okay to have a rest. That it's okay to be imperfect. That it's okay to get things wrong and make mistakes over and over again. It's okay to be vulnerable.
Mm.
It's okay to want more, a lot more from your life. It's okay to want to contribute a lot into the world. It's okay to really enjoy yourself.
Mm.
We all are worthy and worthwhile. It's really, really okay to enjoy your life, to enjoy your body with kindness and respect to yourself and to others. Kind of want to say it even again. It's really, 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 really okay to enjoy your life. It doesn't need to look dramatic or glamorous or big or like anybody else. It's your life.
Well, I'll tell you what you've given me to do on this day, and that is,
yeah.
I live in the Pacific Northwest, and now I have a new thing that I will be doing as I get in and out of my car in a place where it rains a lot. I am going to splash in the puddle. I'm going to have that moment that you described of splashing in the puddle.
And you know what? It's also okay to do the opposite, which is to feel stressed and to feel hurried and to feel frustrated. And within that is the enjoyment of the stress and the frustration. So it doesn't really matter which way you travel.
Exactly.
There is always pleasure available.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contact.